And I'll be reading from John 8, verse 31 to 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Here's Pastor Ashley.
Thanks, Akashi. Well done. Good stuff. G'day, everybody. How are we going? We all well? I feel like it's been a little while since I've been up here, but it probably isn't. You know, I've got to bring my old man's eyes now because I actually can't see very well at all. It's terrible. And do you feel sad for me? Not one of you. Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, they've been tested and they're no good. So, yeah. I might have to. All right, notwithstanding my bad eyes, over the next six messages that I'm going to bring, I'm going to actually talk about the armour of God. And, you know, we hear about the armour of God, haven't we? We know all about it and we know what it's for. But I think the principles, if we break them down, every one of them can be used in our everyday life. You know, it's not just about spiritual battles, it's about our day-to-day battles in life. So I really want to just unpack it all and do one a week over the next six preachers, although Don is going to do one. If everybody knows, Don is at the back and he's waving at us. Don will be doing one in 5 weeks' time, and I'll do the other four, five. So today we're going to talk about, is that up there? Look at that. The armour of God. So I want to read the passage. It's from Ephesians 6:10-20, and it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm then with the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, from a very young age, I've always had doubts about myself, always had inferiority complexes. And it's a lot of things have been spoken into my life when I was younger that I listened to. And this is, getting the belt of truth will help you with this. Now, I just want to tell you a few stories. I've said them before, not here, so we're going to do it again. But I'll tell you a bit of a story about myself. You know, when I started school, high school, I went to school. I was a good lad, never done anything wrong, and I went to school. And in my very first day of high school, my teacher, Mrs. Gilchrist, and we'll take that name out of the video because I'm sure she's watching, Mrs. Gilchrist. Thank you. Mrs. Gilchrist was doing the roll call, first day in high school, didn't know anybody, no one in my class, good teamwork, didn't know anybody in my class at all, and she got to my name, Ashley Downing. I said, "Here." And she looked at me and she said, I was about third row back, and she said, "Are you related to Andrew and Alec?" I said, "Yeah, they're my big brothers," proudly. And she said, "You better come and sit up the front because you're going to amount to nothing like they will." And that was the first day of high school, so I thought, how awesome is that? What a great way to treat someone at the age of probably just 11 or 12. So I will amount to nothing if I'm going to be like my brothers. Doesn't know me from a bar of soap. So there you go. So I go and sit up the front. That's the first thing that comes into my life when I go to high school. I remember my mum saying recently, in fact, and now I've got to temper this with the fact that my mum has got dementia, or is going into dementia. But I remember recently I was having a conversation with Mum, and she just started telling me what an ordinary child I was growing up. She's just nonstop, "You were a horrible child growing up. You never did anything right. You were never nice. You weren't this, you were that." And it just kept going on. I said to her, "Mum, you know, you're talking about when I was a teenager." I said, "That's 30-odd years ago." I said, "Surely I've done some good things now in my life." And she said, "Yeah, but I don't know how. Because you are such a horrible child." This is my mum. And these things, they affect you. You know, I mean, fortunately, God's with me, but they affect you. before that, when I met my lovely wife, Anna. Now, when Anna was, when I met Anna, Anna was like the golden girl at church, right? Yeah, well. So she was, everybody loved Anna. So she started seeing me. And, of course, I was Satan, apparently. So, and she had people say to her, you should not be with Ashley. He is not right for you. He is going to bring you down. Then when we got married, they said, you shouldn't marry this guy. He is not right for you. Poor old Anna, right, was best friends with this girl who invited her to be her bridesmaid. But the only condition was, you can be in my wedding, but you have to get rid of Ashley. Right? So I don't tell you this to make you feel sorry for me, because I don't want you to feel... No, well, I didn't think you would. But that's the sort of, yeah, I feel sorry for Anna because she's married to me, right? Because I'm just horrible. But, yeah, and those were the sort of things. And I remember that all the time people would be putting these barbs. And I know I'm not alone. I know this happens to lots and lots of people, right? Even today, you know, when I see people I haven't seen for years and they say, what do you do for a living? I say, well, I'm a pastor. They either say, what on earth is a pastor? Or they laugh and say, like, you, a pastor? Now, I've got to tell you, I did have a dodgy past. When I was younger, I wasn't the greatest bloke going around, so there was a bit of validity in it. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, you don't need these barbs in your life. When people talk to you like this, it really brings you down, and you can start believing the lie. And that's what you don't want to do. I mean, I'm sure everybody here has had something said about them, whether it be in the workplace or whatever. You know, someone talks behind your back. There you go. Someone talks behind your back. You know, they gossip, don't they? And we've had that before. Or they accuse you of things. You know, they're pointing things out that aren't right. They're lies. But it gets into your psyche, into your heart, and you start to believe it. And it hurts and it makes you angry. And the fact that it's a lie makes it even more infuriating, especially when people believe it. It's even worse when you start to believe it yourself. And I did. My lack of understanding about the truth of God nearly sabotaged all that God has for me. And I nearly allowed lies and untruths to, and half-truths to derail what God wanted. The Bible tells us in verse 12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, like, you know, people that we work with, or, you know, people that we went to school with, or even what our parents say. But it says we wrestle against the powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil. The devil is a liar. Everything he says, everything that comes out of his mouth, every thought he puts in your head or puts in people's mouths to say against you is a lie. And in John 8:44, it says exactly that. It says, you are the father of the devil, and your will is to do the father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. That is the devil. The devil does not know the truth. There is no truth in him at all, and he knows only lies and deceit. And he's sneaky with it, isn't he? He'll tell you half-truths. He'll whisper in your ear, or he'll use your friend to say something against you. He's a dead-set dog. In Proverbs 26:28, it says, a lying tongue hates its victim, and a flattering word causes ruin. So the power of the tongue into your life can be terrible. So the very first thing we need to do to combat this when we're in warfare, or just feeling like we don't measure up, is the belt of truth. And in verse 14 it says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So what good can this little belt do? You might ask yourself. Well, this belt refers to the truth of the scripture. Having the belt of truth on helps us understand the truth about what God says about us. John 8:31-32, as Acacia read out brilliantly, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I love that picture. I love that imagery there, that the chains are broken, aren't they? When we believe in the truth that is Christ, then nothing can come against us. It sets us free. And I think for sure that everybody in this room wants to be free in the deepest sense. You know, we don't want to be, because what's the opposite of being free? It's being in bondage, isn't it, in slavery. And, you know, that slavery can be as simple as pursuing your own desires. You know, it may not be something that's against God, but it might take you away from God. It might take your focus from God. And that freedom then becomes a bondage that we have. And God, only God can truly set us free. God's truth is irrefutable. It's undeniable. It's overcoming. It's trustworthy. It's freeing. It's powerful. It's unshakable. It's unwavering. It's indestructible. This is what the Word of God says, that God's Word, His truth in our lives will help us to overcome. God's word says that we are the apple of his eye. Psalm 27. We are more than conquerors in Romans. We are overcomers. We can overcome the bad things in our life. We can overcome the sad things in our life. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are the head and not the tail, and I love that. We are, each and every one of us, were created to lead. We were created to be in charge. We weren't created to be pushed around, put down. The truth of God is we were created to lead. We are God's greatest ever thing that he's created. Now, I love this thing. This changed my life about 10, 12 years ago, sitting on a sand dune in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Australia, out on the west coast at the head of the boat. I sat on this sand dune. Out one side of me was the ocean, whatever it is, I don't know. It's an ocean. It's a big bit of water. It goes to the Antarctica. On this side of me was sand dunes in the Nullarbor. Nothing. Vast open spaces. And suddenly God reminded me of the scripture in Ephesians 2:10 that we're his workmanship. We're the greatest thing that he ever made. I'm sitting there looking at all this unbelievable beauty. Now, I've just been over the States and I looked into the Grand Canyon. I don't know if you've been there. It is the most amazing thing you're ever going to see. Such huge colours, and it's amazing. And then God looks at us and says, we're the apple of his eye. We are the greatest thing he's ever made over all those things. But what blew me away even more than that, and try and get your head around this, God loves me because I've accepted Jesus. But my friends on the beach don't know Jesus, who I'm fishing with, and God loves them equally. God loves them just exactly the same. They don't have to do anything for God's love. None of us do. It's there. What an amazing God we serve. We are his greatest creation. So that picture was about the beauty, but I love that there's a person sitting in the middle of everything that he's created, and when God looks at that picture, he focuses on that one person, because God's greatest creation is you. If we don't know this deep down, we'll never overcome trial, accusations and hard times when they come our way. And if you don't think they will come, just look at some of the guys in the Bible. Why shouldn't we have hard times when they did? Look at the life of Job. Job was a righteous man. Job knew God well, loved God, had everything. He was blessed with everything. He had at least 20 goats. He probably had 50 cows. He had lots and lots of sheep. He had property and he had an amazing family. And the devil, being the devil, said, yeah, but you've given him everything. How easy is it for him to love you? Let me trial him. Let me give him a trial and see what happens. So God said, all right, you can do whatever you want to Job, but you can't kill him. So Satan went there, took all his property off of him, burnt down all his houses, took away all his stock, killed his children. Did Job say, oh, I curse you, God? He didn't. I mean, he got upset. He threw ash on his head. I don't know what that would do, but he did that. Sat down and got pretty grumpy, but he never cursed God. So Satan said, well, you haven't let me touch him. So he said, you can touch him, but don't kill him. So he covered his body in sores, head to toe, it says, in sores. He scraped them off with bits of glass. He sat under a vine while he's in this pain, great agony. Never cursed God, just kept loving God because he knew the truth. That truth was in his heart. He knew that God was above all things, even his own health. Then his wife came to him and said to him, why don't you curse God and die? So his friends have come to him and told him he's wrong. His wife's come to him to curse God and die, and he doesn't. And all of that, he doesn't. He stands up. He could have listened to a wife who told him to curse, but didn't, because he knew the truth. His friends told him to give up, but he wouldn't. He clearly had the belt of truth on him, didn't he? He had complete trust in God. And we need to be like Job when things get tough, don't we? Adam and Eve fell because they listened to the lie or the half-truth. They preferred to listen to the lie than the truth they already knew. They walked with God in the same garden. They knew who God was, yet they still chose to listen to the lie. So how easy is it for us to listen to the lie when someone at work tells us we're no good, when your parents or someone tell you, no, you're no good? Adam and Eve did it, and it was the fall of man. And we need to not do that. We need to put on the armour of God. So today, let me encourage you. Don't listen to the lie. Allow the truth of God to set you free, and allow the truth of God, how God sees you, dictate the outcome of your life, not the others or the devil. Put on the armour of God every day. Put on the belt of truth every day. It's so simple. Pray about it. God, I love you. I thank you that you love me. Put on the belt of truth. You know, the belt of truth holds the rest of the armour together. It seems like a belt that's, you know, sort of this wide. It holds the rest of the armour together. If you don't have the truth, you can't live a righteous life. If you don't have the truth, you can't live in salvation. If you don't have the truth, you will not understand the word of God, the sword of the spirit. You won't understand the gospel. The belt of truth holds everything else together. Know the truth that God has in your life and you'll live that life. I'm telling you now, you can have the truth of God in your life and it will overcome things like anxiety, sickness, stress, sadness, hurt. That's what it's for, because God thinks you're amazing. There is nothing you can do that makes God love you less and nothing you can do that makes him love you more. God just loves you because he thinks you're an amazing person, because you're his creation. He doesn't make mistakes. He only makes champions. He makes heads, not tails. So I know there are people here today that have struggled with words that people have said about them in the past, have struggled with how they feel about themselves. And I really want to pray for you. So I'm going to pray to close. I'll get Zach to put some music on afterwards. And if you want to come out for prayer for anything at all, please come forward, because God loves you and he wants to see you set free. Is that okay? Father God, I thank you so much that you're the God of all. You're the God of all creation. And you look at us as your greatest effort. And I love you for that, Father God. I thank you that you love us and you set us free, Lord. And I thank you that we can know the truth. And the truth is that you made us to lead, Father God. Father God, I pray that you bless us all here today, Father, and we just have an amazing week. And we just pray that, Lord, I just thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.